As you know, J.K. Rowling is the wildly popular author of the Harry Potter series. She began writing, I think her first book was in 1997, and her last of the seven books of Harry Potter was written or published in 2007. And she said at one time, kind of in retrospect, she said, "By every usual standard, I was the biggest failure I knew." After conceiving this idea of a young man named Harry Potter for the main character in her novels, Rowling's mother died, her marriage ended, she was left to raise her baby with no job and no family. She applied for and received welfare benefits, what they call in Great Britain being on the dole. And she struggled with depression and poverty, a number of other setbacks, and eventually finished her first novel only to be rejected by about 12 publishers who said they just wouldn't publish her book. And even when she did publish the first Harry Potter book, the editor came and said to her, you probably need to get a day job because you're not going to be able to earn a living off of what you make from children's books. But obviously, J.K. Rowling disproved all of those people by becoming probably the most, at least monetarily, the most successful author of all time. J.K. Rowling, as I remember hearing, she is the only writer ever to earn $1 billion or be considered a billionaire, though in the years since she has given a lot of her money away to other causes. But according to Rowling herself, she says, "It is impossible to live without failing at something, unless you live so cautiously that you might as well not have lived at all, in which case you fail by default." So how about you? Do you ever fear of failure? I think probably more than ever now, that is on people's minds. Whether it's a person's health or their family's health, maybe an elder in the family for whom a person is concerned, and how well you are protecting your family, or you feel as though you're protecting your family. Or finances, when jobs are being lost, when people are being placed on furlough or being laid off. I think the sense of how, if we're going to fail, that might be in our thoughts much more so than ever before. What kind of impending personal defeat do you wake up at night thinking about? Maybe waking up in a sweat, having thought about it, or dreamt about it. In the book that we're using today or this week for our sermon series, a book called Unafraid by Adam Hamilton, Adam Hamilton writes this. He says, "The fear of failure, along with the awful accompanying scenarios we might imagine of shame and the inability to provide for ourselves and those we love, and the stigma of losing, is one of the most prevalent human fears." And he says in the congregational survey they took at the church he served as, he says, it loomed as the number one fear of those under 50 years of age. Now you may remember the story from the scriptures about Moses, how Moses heard of a call from God from a burning bush. And God says to Moses from the burning bush, "I've heard my people's cry in Egypt, and I'm going to lead them to freedom for their sakes. And I'm sending you, Moses, to lead them to freedom and sending you to speak to Pharaoh." And in response to that great call from God, Moses immediately begins to outline all of the reasons why he is not the person to be chosen, why he feels he's disqualified from even consideration. And it's kind of a charming story in the sense that God is so patient with Moses and all of the excuses that Moses has lined up for God. God, what am I going to say to people when they ask who your name is? I don't even know what to call you. Or people won't believe me when I say this, that God actually spoke to me and I'm supposed to lead this people. Or Moses said at one point, they're going to think I'm going to make this all up, that this is out of a figment of my own imagination. And for one thing, God, you know, I don't speak all that well. I stumble and I have this tendency of stuttering. And then to kind of cinch the deal, which didn't work, Moses says just outright, says, please, God, just send somebody else. But no matter what God says, Moses knows, he knows that he's not enough, not good enough for that task. Moses knows he is a failure. He is, after all, a murderer on the lam right now. People are looking for him. He's not a leader, he doesn't feel by any regard. And God is probably a bit annoyed at this reticence that Moses has in being chosen to lead. But God still kind of smooths the way for Moses, offering, for example, his brother Aaron as a spokesperson, that maybe Moses won't have to speak quite as much because his brother is going to help him out. And he eventually gets this intern named Joshua. Now, there have been and there are times in my life when I feel as though I have failed, when things that I have said and done, or sometimes things I haven't said or done that I should have, in which I realize in retrospect I was wrong, or I failed in that particular instance. And there's times as well when I feel very, very inadequate to the task of a job. Maybe I don't have the training necessary. Maybe I feel it's not a gift or a grace that I have. Even when I understand God is leading me, there are those times when I simply am not sure if I'm the right person to do that job. I'm guessing that you feel that same sense of potential failure or inadequacy in your life as well. Maybe you feel that just about anybody other than you would probably be a better choice to do the work of God or to do your own work around the house or in your chosen profession. But if you don't get anything else out of this message, I hope that you hear this, that God's love for you doesn't depend on your being successful. God's love for you doesn't depend on your being successful. God loves you immeasurably, even when you fail. And you will fail. I mean, I fail, and it is a kind of a human tendency to make mistakes and fail. And God has just as much use for people who fail as for people who either don't fail, which is nobody, or those who make themselves look good enough to pass muster for the day. In fact, maybe when we've failed, maybe when we've moved a little bit closer to being honest with ourselves, we actually become a little bit more ready, a little bit more in a better position to hand ourselves over to God. That it doesn't always depend on us and doesn't always depend on how successful we are. Another thing, just as God's love for you doesn't depend on your success, so it is with people who are really true friends, people who are loved ones for you on this journey of life. The best people to have as your friends, and the best people to have as your confidants, are those whose love is kind of like God's love in the sense that it's unconditional. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how you've messed up that particular day, you know that that person or that couple or that family are going to be your friends no matter what. Who's still standing with you when things kind of fall down around you? Those are the very people who you want as your friends and as your confidants and comrades. These are the folk who embody, who are, in a sense, the Christ for you. The ones who are going to stand with you through thick and through thin, through all the rubble of one's failures and to the potential of what tomorrow might bring. Now, the story goes that Moses never did reach the promised land. He died before the people crossed the River Jordan, but he was able to look into the promised land from the top of Mount Nebo. He sees it from a distance. But as I said earlier, his intern, Joshua, gets to take the people into the promised land in Moses' stead. And as they stand there, ready to end all of those years of wandering in the wilderness, ready to cross that River Jordan, God gives to Joshua a blessing. And I want you to listen to these words again from the book of Joshua. "No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was for Moses, so I will be for you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Only be very strong and very courageous. Do not turn from my law to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will find success. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You know, I'm guessing that for Joshua, his nights were filled with wonder and perhaps some perspiration as well, wondering if he could ever fulfill the role that Moses had up until that point, leading the people through freedom from Pharaoh, through the wilderness, onto the almost the promised land. Joshua, I'm guessing too, had some worried nights about whether he could be even adequate to the task of leading his own people into the promised land. We may fail. We've failed before. I have. I'm guessing that you have. And I'm guessing we'll do it again in the future. But as God says to Joshua, we can be strong and we can be courageous because God's love never fails. And God is with us wherever we go, choosing you to be with you, to be your constant companion. As long as we are honest with ourselves in who we are and what we've made of our lives and what decisions we've made, as long as we're honest with our spouses and our family and our friends, and also as long as we're honest with God. My friends, we are going to fail. We have in the past. It is a part of being human. And yet, in spite of that, you and I have a constant companion in prayer, if we allow that to happen, who is able to be with us through not just the best portions of our lives, but sometimes even in those darkest valleys.